Hey everyone, just a heads up about this episode. We had some audio issues on my end, unfortunately. There wasn't a whole lot I could do about it. It just sounds like a regular Zoom call, so it's still good, but there might be some drop in audio here and there. But anyway, just wanted to give you all a heads up. Enjoy the episode. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Roads We've Traveled podcast. My name is AJ Pelletier. Thank you again for, tuning in, subscribing, all that great stuff. I appreciate it. Things are going good. As I'm recording this, it's almost the end of February. By the time this episode airs, it'll be a little bit of ways from now. But things are good. I'm currently a few weeks into my diet. I've lost almost 10 pounds already. I've gone cold turkey on alcohol to help with the diet and exercising more, and I feel great. It's Sunday right now, so I'm a little tired, but definitely sore from all the exercise and stuff, but I feel great. I'm doing very well. Trying to stay healthy. I mean, it's still pretty cold out right now, but by the time this episode airs, hopefully spring will already be in full bloom. So there's that. But in the meantime, can't complain. So life is good. But let's get into today's episode. Today we have a new guest, Mr. Derek Jeffrey of Fear the Masses. Derek is one of the latest, not really latest. He's been with the band for probably a year and some change now. He was their guitarist for a while, and then he transitioned to drums after their drummer had to step away from the band. So he talks about that in this today's episode. He also talks about growing up and dealing with some mental health problems and dealing with family with mental health problems, especially his mother who has some bipolarism and stuff like that, and just dealing with that. And he has a lot of good news too within the family too, which is really cool. And I'm really happy for him and his family. And then he also talks about what's going on with Fear the Masses, what recording and stuff like Josh talked about on his episode, what's been going on with the band. So it was great talking with Derek. We've gamed a few times on the weekend together and stuff like that. He's a really great guy. And so let's just get right into today's episode. Here is Derek Jeffrey of Fear the Masses on the Roads We've Traveled podcast. Check it out. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Roads We've Traveled podcast. You already know who I am. I'm AJ Pelletier. Thank you again for tuning in, subscribing, all that great stuff. I appreciate it. I got a brand new guest today. I've interviewed pretty much every iteration member of this band already. So, but we're back with more members of the band. My new friend, Derek Jeffrey from Fear the Masses. What is going on, brother?
Oh, same stuff every day. Enjoying the awesome weather that we're finally having.
It's so weird for February, though.
Absolutely. We went to a Globetrotters game last night, and I'm outside in a t-shirt and jeans.
Oh,
I'm
nice.
Fine. I'm like, what is this?
Very cool. Globetrotters. Oh, my God. I haven't seen them in fucking forever.
It was 2003, and they were the Harlem Wizards or something that I saw.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I remember seeing them play when I was a kid. I think my aunt and uncle took us to a game or something. That was crazy. But I wasn't expecting that. Just like threw flashback real quick. Oh my God. Anyway, so what's going on, man? How you been? What's new?
Well,
besides the Globetrotters.
Work life's kind of moving. We have a baby on the way, which is awesome. We're really excited about that. She'll be here in May, so that's something we've been really looking forward to.
Get your sleep now.
Well, the benefit is I don't sleep much as it is, and when I do, it's short.
It's going to be a lot less. So
yeah, that's why caffeine's my best friend. So we're good. We're good. It's going to be great.
True.
I'm super excited. You know, Hannah's super excited. Everybody is over the moon. You know, something we've been waiting for quite some time. And it's just, it's awesome that it's happening now. So.
Oh, congrats, man. I'm happy for you and Hannah. How long have you guys been together?
So we started dating in the beginning of 2016. Then we got married in 2018. So
that's awesome.
Yep.
Happy for you, man. I think the last time I saw you was Doug's birthday.
Yes.
Last year? Yeah. Last year. It was the year before because you guys got to, or he did something smaller, but the year before that, yeah.
Yeah, because we went to that
we
wing
all went
place.
Out for wings.
Yeah, in where was it? Portland or something like that.
Middletown.
Yeah. That place was cool. We should definitely go back there soon.
Hell yeah, dude! Good ass wings too. That was awesome.
Absolutely. That was bomb.
But let's talk more about you a little bit. So I don't really know a whole lot about you because I knew. Back in the day when I was still making music within the Red, I knew the original lineup for Fear the Masses was Chris, Mike, Doug, and Josh. They were the lineup that I knew, and then members came and went here and there and everything like that. But let's get to know you a little bit more. Where did you grow up?
So I grew up in Somers, Connecticut. I was born and raised there. Grew up. I was there until I was 23 or 24. That's when I moved out here, to Ludlow. Typical, mom and dad, brother, sister kind of situation. growing up it's kind of weird. When I was growing up, everything seemed fine. Everything seemed normal. Life happened the way it was, granted, being a musician, I'm just kind of on the outside of a white collar society. So I got made fun of quite a bit throughout elementary school, middle school, high school, mainly just because I was essentially the outcast, which made me the easy target.
For just being a musician or just?
No, I was, as musician types, we're not necessarily normal sometimes. So I was very energetic. I was very eccentric, if you will, which... Well, again, you get all these people that are, the kind of people, showing up in mommy and daddy's BMW and Audi, that, kid shows up in a beat up truck and he's just like,
yes,
I'm a little down on you just because you don't have mommy and daddy's Audi. They bought me an RS5. You have a truck. Ew. And it's just, so that's how it is. It's a small town with a very, very high income.
I didn't grow up in anything like I went to tech school, so pretty much if you had a car you were cool, what I mean? Right. I mean, there are other people that have more expensive cars and not a lot of them flaunted it too much. There's they were definitely the cooler kids, I was lucky enough towards the end of my high school, my senior year, every now and then my mom would let me borrow her Ford Focus. And I beat the shit out of that car and never told her about it. As soon as I got my license too, I would do donuts and parking lots with it. It was a Ford Focus wagon on top of it too.
God.
And it was the ugliest beige color too. And I would do donuts and parking lots and shit with my friends. Sorry, Mom, if you're listening. And there was this one point, there's this road down the road from my high school, and there was they fixed it now because you can't do this anymore. But if you flew down the road enough, there was a little bit of a dip where you can fly right off of it and then come back down. And I did that quite a few times on my mom's Ford Focus, flooring it 60 miles an hour and just go over this tiny little jump and get a little bit of air and then landing.
So
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go on a tangent, but you're just bringing back all these memories for me.
No, it's actually kind of funny because in Somers it's very agricultural So there's some roads that are super heavily crowned. And one morning I'm super late for school. I'm humming, doing probably 60, 70 down this road. And I'm coming across and the light turns yellow. I'm like, nope, mad at it. And just go sailing through the intersection. Which is hilarious because they have the police station on one side and you have the fire station on the other. Somehow no one was there. But nevertheless, thank God, because I'm going sailing through this intersection. I comes drifting into school and my buddy's opening up the back door. He's like, yo, you're like 15 minutes late. I'm just like, yeah, no. Totally just caught air by right outside the school, but I know. He's like, but nice. Yeah.
Yeah, my mom actually crashed that car herself. Had nothing to do with me though, thank God.
Oh,
but no, it was I've talked about in previous episodes that my mother's legally blind now.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the last time she was able to drive was she was at like an intersection with like a left turn signal light, and she thought it was green and it wasn't. And she went left into oncoming traffic and was just,
oh no, hit,
like, yeah. So, and that was the last time. Like, she was already having enough trouble driving as it was because her vision was just not good anymore. And we're like, mom, you're done. Like,
right.
We'll take you where you need to go, but we can't do this anymore.
Like, right. We got to keep you
stressing
safe.
Out every time you get behind the wheel. You know what I mean?
Oh, so, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but this was a long time ago.
Hmm.
But anyway, just for my listeners out there, I had nothing to do with the reason why that accident happened. Okay, the car was perfectly fine. Okay.
Oh boy.
Anyway, so you said growing up a little bit, you know, you were picked on and this, that, and the other for being kind of like, surrounded by rich people here and there. You know, what was your home life like and what was your school life like?
So again, it's one of those things where, you know, it's not like I wasn't well off. You know, being in the town that I am, it's you know, you have to live a certain way to be able to afford to live there to begin with. So my parents were decently well off. You know, we had everything. We had more than enough. You know, obviously I'm playing seven sports within the year, whether it's hockey, baseball, soccer, tennis, golf, you know, so we're all well taken care of. Just me as a person,
typical working class family, like middle class family, I'm assuming. Right?
Yeah. Upper middle. So like, but me as a person, I'm just not built that way, you know. As it is right now, I'm a mechanic, but that's what I love to do. Is like, I love to be working with my hands to do stuff. Whereas,
I remember you just that night we all went out for wings. You literally just got off of work. You're in your shop shirt and everything. And
oh yeah.
Like, hey, what's up, guys?
Yeah. So like that's who I am, and it just didn't coincide with what was around me. So everyone thought it was weird.
Until their car broke down, they're like, what's going on here?
Yeah, well, exactly.
Then they're your best friend. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It's like there was a couple times where like the girl who parked next to me, her two of her tires were flat. And like she all day, every day would just treat me like absolute shit. But I was like, all right, I'm going to hang out until she gets here so I can help her get her spare tire on. And she's like, why? Like, even her parents are like, why did you help her? Like, she treats you like shit. I'm just like, she needed help. How is she going to get home if she has a flat tire? Like,
well, she had two, right?
Yeah, she had two. And so I was able to pump one of them up and save it. So, because she lived right down the street from me, so I could make sure she got home.
She didn't thank you or anything for
No, she did. She like made cookies and shit. She's like, I'm so sorry. I'm such an asshole to you. And then a week later, it went back to being the normal, you know.
Fucking bitch.
Pretty much.
This is new age, okay? I'm not holding back anymore. I'm 35 now. I'm eating healthy. I'm not drinking alcohol anymore for, you know, now. But,
you know, for now.
Keto won't allow it on my diet. So, you know, but I'm still, you know,
vodka
telling the truth here. Fucking bitch, you know?
Vodka and whiskey is definitely keto friendly. Trust me.
Vodka whiskey is definitely not AJ friendly because AJ gets very angry. Yeah.
Fair enough.
I'm just trying to do a cleanse right now. I need to stop. So
you know what I mean? I got you, man.
Anyway.
So
getting picked on and stuff like that and kind of being an outcast from all that kind of stuff, did it do anything on like your mental health or anything?
Oh, absolutely. Like it definitely took a huge toll. You know, undiagnosed depression was really a big thing, but I didn't want to tell anybody about it because I had it's almost unhealthy amount of not respect, but how much I wanted to be like my brother, who's 15 years older than me, you know, was working at Wall Street, making tons of money, this, that, and the other. Like, that's, I want to be just like him. Like, I always looked up to him, and I was always trying to compare myself to him. And he'd never talk about anything. Like, anytime he was upset, he'd just keep it close to the vest. So that's how I felt. And sometimes it would boil over to the point where, you know, there was one time I thought about jumping out of a window, you know.
Yeah,
a lot of other things that were less than healthy, you know. And anytime I get to that point, it's just like, what's wrong? My parents would be like, what's wrong with you? Like, not what's going on, like, what's wrong with you? And like, at one of those things where when I was growing up, it was kind of like living through rose colored glasses because I think everything's fine and like that my parents actually care about me. Not that they didn't, but it's weird. Like, it didn't really click until probably 3-4 years ago that, man, what they did kind of fucked me up in the head. And like, it's kind of amazing how not fucked up I am. Like, I have some problems, but it should be way, way worse than what it is. Because
so
I,
what do you mean? What do you mean like by they fucked you up?
So
like, was it your family that was part of it? Or
yeah, it was okay. definitely my family. Like, I think I'm coming home to a supportive nature, and it ends up being subliminal bullying, if you will. You know, my mom has severe bipolar depression. My sister's got something. I really don't know what it is, but she acts just like my mom, but a little bit different. And my brother has this kind of egotistical, controlling nature that if you don't do it his way, then he's going to be very angry at you. So
it sounds like you have a family history of mental illness, which also is something in my family too. My mother's side, especially my mother, has a lot of anxiety and depression and stuff. And my father has a lot of depression and anger that he never dealt with in his life. So, and it just kind of like, I see it in my siblings as well too, because like I've had anxiety for a long time and just never really knew about it, but I've always had depression. And now I've got to take medication for it and everything daily. And the medication also helps because I was getting severe panic attacks, which was brutal.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, I see like a lot of anger and depression in my little brother. I see a lot of anxiety in my older brother, and anxiety and stress and depression in my sister as well too. So, but it's not healthy. Like, when it goes undiagnosed, like what you're saying in your family, like, you know, your mother was bipolar and stuff. I don't know if she was treating for it or anything like that, but
so that's the messed up part is she's diagnosed with bipolar. She has medication. She refuses to take it because it quote unquote doesn't make her feel good. And I'm just like, yo, they prescribe it for a reason. Like, you need this, you need to take it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it was to the point before I moved out, like I would come home from work absolutely exhausted and like walk downstairs, my mom and dad are watching TV, you know, what's up guys, and walk into my room to play video games. And then next thing I know, my mom's busting through the door crying, oh, you hate me. I'm like, yo, what the hell, dude? I just said, yo, what's up? And walked into my room because I'm tired and I just want to chill out. And she's screaming and yelling. And I'm just looking at my dad and he goes, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think the best thing I've ever heard, it was from another podcast, and I know I've said it on this show before, is like, mental health is not your fault, but it is, or mental illness is not your fault, but it is your responsibility. And if you're not doing anything to take care of yourself, because your brain is just like every other muscle in your body, you need to maintain it. You can't just constantly be burying down your feelings, because it's going to spill out in nasty ways, towards violence, or, you know, it's going to make your health even worse. Bipolar is something that I've never experienced before, but I know people that have it, that just, it can, you know, for example, I've had guests on the show already, former Fear of the Masses, members, actually, Mike Castro and Chris Millay both have bipolar. Chris Millay has a bipolar mania, which he's explained on the show before too, where it's, it can lead to psychosis, which is dangerous. So he takes anxiety medication to help with the anxiety, and then he does a ton of therapy, and he's been managing for years now, and he's great. And when he has his off days, like, he's very upfront about it. He's like, listen, I'm not okay right now. I just need time. And then people are, yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, and it's, you know, and that's come from years of managing and getting help and dealing with it, where if he wasn't doing any of that, it would have been way, way worse. So for your mother, like, I don't want to put any judgment out or anything like that, but people listening out there, if the medication, if you think it's not helping, it is helping. And if it's something that you need to talk more about with your doctor, you should be talking to your doctor about it, because maybe, okay, if it's not working, they can put you on something else to try. You know what I mean? That's why I was very happy when I found the medication that I'm on right now, because I've never taken medication in my life, but now I need to, where my therapist and my doctor were in the same building. So they're talking to each other, right? You know what I mean? Oh, and yeah, keeping each other updated about my progress, which was amazing. Cause as soon as I would talk to my doctor, how's your dosage going? I don't know. They're like, why don't we try going up a little bit more, see how it's going in like the next month or so. And then while you're seeing the therapist, we'll keep track of all that stuff together. I'm like, perfect. And then we up the dosage. I feel a lot better now. And then boom. No, I just got to remember to take it every day. You know what I mean? So.
that's the hardest part, is just remembering to do it. Is like,
you know what? I set an alarm on my phone. That's Karen Gillan, and I was my background. That's my future wife, hopefully someday. You know, but we'll see. That's a long stretch. I'm sorry that, you know, viewers on my podcast saw my screen on my phone. But yes, I have Karen Gillan as my background. If you're listening, Karen Gillan, I love you. You're like my hugest celebrity crush. I love you to death. But anyway, I put an alarm on my phone where it goes off every single day, and it just says, take your meds. And yeah, between that, I'm taking multivitamins. I'm taking vitamin D. I'm taking fiber, you know, whatever. Again, I'm 35 years old. I'm not fucking in my 20s anymore. You know what I mean? I got to start taking care of myself. So.
Yeah.
But that's just a constant reminder. Take your meds. So I'm sorry, I went on a tangent, but it was just more about trying to relate to you about what you were saying. And yeah, then, you know, telling listeners out there that it's okay to, you know, get help and to take care of yourself. You have to take care of yourself, because no one else is going to take care of you for you.
Oh yeah. And that's the wild thing, is like, it seems like I'm the only one who's pushing her to take her meds, and like, she just won't. Like, my brother won't do anything about it. Granted, he and my sister both live in Florida, so they're 3,000 miles away from it, and they don't have to really deal with it. I live 20 minutes away,
right?
And I'm the only one that's within driving distance, so that puts on a bigger stress, because anything that goes wrong with my parents, because they're older. Like, my dad's 75 this year, my mom's 73, yeah, 72. So they're older. So anything that goes wrong is automatically on me. You know, I don't get to share the burden of, okay, well, mom and dad aren't doing great. You guys got to go here. Now I got to go. Now it's your turn. Now it's your turn. Now it's my turn. It's not that. It's
gotta be a lot of stress, man.
Oh, absolutely. And because of how my family acts, it has put a strain on our relationship, and it makes it harder, because I just don't want to do it anymore. Like, anytime I mm-hmm. like have to do anything, it's a project. Cause like, the last time I went over, or it wasn't the last time, it was the time before that, I went over cause I wanted to get some photo albums to show Hannah. And after I left, I got a text message, probably not even 10 minutes after I left. You're mean, you use us for this, and all you want is this. I'm like, yo, like, I came over for dinner and hung out with you guys for like 2 hours. I could have just came, got what I want, and left, but I didn't. Mm. And now you're saying I'm mean and I'm using you guys. I'm like, how am I using you? And then it just, they don't answer me. Then I get nothing. And then all of a sudden, everything's fine. And I'm just like, yo.
So yeah. So I'm going to ask you something, but I'm also going to compare it to, because like, I get where you're coming from, because, my dad is in his late 60s. His health isn't great. And I've talked about him on the show previous times too, mm-hmm. that he's had his issues with mental health. Like, he's gone undiagnosed with depression, anger. He's never talked to a therapist, to my knowledge, about dealing with it, because he's grown up in an abusive household. His father was an alcoholic, used to beat him and his siblings and his mom and everything like that growing up. So it's very violent. But thankfully, I didn't have that kind of childhood, because he knew better than that. But he did not deal with the trauma at all.
Right.
And, trying now to get him to talk about stuff. I mean, like, to this day, there's a lot of stuff he's never talked about that I found out from my mother. You know what I mean? Like, and it wasn't like bad or anything, but it was just like trying to understand him as a person better. And, our relationship was very strained over the last few years, because, you were listening to the show. I'm sure you've heard that my mm-hmm. father remarried and this, that, and the other. More recently, though, that marriage is coming to an end, I found out, which, you know what, I'm kind of glad that it is, because his new wife was basically just using him.
That's
so
unfortunate.
And my father, yeah, it's really unfortunate. And, we've been talking more here and there about like him and everything. And we're trying to get him out of the situation that he's in right now, closer to the rest of us, where we can take care of him a little bit more. He can slow down, because he should be retired, but he's not retired and he's just working all the time. Anyway, that's a long story. But anyway, I think he's coming to terms now that he's like, I fucked up. I should have done more. This, that, and the other. And I think he's opening up more, which is big on him, because he never has ever
right.
about mm-hmm. anything or wanting help. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he never wanted help with anything growing up. Like, he would always be the person saying, you have to do stuff yourself. People aren't going to do it for you, which in one hand is a good lesson, but in another, it's also bad, because he grew up not trusting people. And I can't do that, because I grew up with that mentality from him, and I had to unlearn that from him, because I don't want to live my life like that. So I get what you're saying, but he's also very old as well too, where he was already set in his ways, and he's slowly coming around a little bit. So, I mean, I get how frustrating it is seeing your mother like that, because that's how my relationship with my father was for a very long time. And it's not good on your mental health, because I could see it just by talking to you right now. I mean, do you see a therapist? Do you talk to the therapist at all?
I've tried in the past. It not necessarily for me. The biggest thing that's been helping me is, I have my new support system. Like, I have Hannah, I have Hannah's mom, I have her brothers mm-hmm. who have welcomed me into their family as one of their own, no questions asked, just literally have been there. And anytime I need anything, like if I just need to talk, they're all, any of them are there 100%. Yeah. So,
and that's great. And like, I don't want to cut you off like that or anything, but like, I also don't want to discourage people from not seeking out therapy either, because some therapists don't work for people, but then there are other therapists that do that are actually trained to do that. But yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
That's really what it is. I'm able to, I've learned to express what I'm feeling instead of just bottling up and just letting it sit there. And right. then all of a sudden now I'm just angry all the time and just blowing up for no reason at all. I can literally just be like, this is how I'm feeling. I don't know what's going on. And then mm-hmm. if I'm talking to Hannah or Hannah's mom or somebody, we are able to get out what is going on. And then after that, I'm fine. Like, I've right. figured out what the root cause is, why it's doing it, and it's made me feel better. Like I at this moment, like there's, I have my everyday stresses, but like in the last 2-3 years, I think I've been more open about everything in my life than I have been in the last 26, you know, where it's really helped my mind, where I'm not trying to carry everything by myself. And it's relieving, if you will, you know?
Right. And that's all we can do is you can't bottle things up like that, especially like, you know, stresses like that. Like I had to keep my father's secrets for well over 10 years from the rest of my family, and it was killing me inside. And I had really no one to talk to. You know, my close friends knew what was going on, but they didn't really know how to relate to me. So, you know, and I had to go see a therapist after a while. I had relationship problems. I was, you know, trying to figure out where my life was going at the same time. And, you know, in your situation, you know, I'm glad you have that support where you can talk and figure things out, which is great. You know, I didn't have that, so I had to seek it out, and I'm glad that I did, because I had a therapist for a while, for about a year, when I was having severe suicidal thoughts. Mm-hmm. Like I've always had suicidal thoughts, but I was actually about to pull the fucking trigger.
Yeah.
And, you know, I checked in and got myself taken care of, and, she left the practice. And then about a year or so ago, I had to go back to therapy, which is the one that I have now, alongside with my doctor. And her therapy was more, I don't want to say aggressive, but it was a lot more in depth. And there were, tricks that she would teach me, like they called it CBT, which is just things that you do when you're in a situation and you're processing what's going on. You know what I mean? Say yeah. Like your mom's texting you and you're blown up. You know this isn't really her. You know what I mean? Like what she's trying to say to you isn't really how she feels in the moment. You just know that okay. She's having a moment right now. I'm just going to let her do her thing and just whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to just switch that gear off in my brain. I'm going to focus on something else. That's kind of like I would come home and I would be like super depressed. And I'm like, I just want to fucking end it right now. You know what I mean? And then I would think like, okay, well, why am I thinking like this? What is going on? And then what am I going to do about to rectify it? And I'm like, oh, hey, I got vacation time coming up. What do I want to do on my vacation? Well, I can't afford to go anywhere right now. So, you know, I'm going to go check out a couple breweries, or I'm going to do a big deep clean on my apartment that I've been putting off for a while. Or, you know what? I haven't seen this person in a while. I'm going to go catch up with them. And as soon as I started shifting my brain that way, I got out of that funk that I was in.
Right. And
so that's more kind of like what I was talking about.
It's a small incremental wins, you know? You know, mm-hmm. It's especially when you're deep in the shit. It's like, I remember when I was listening to Josh's episode, you know, just getting up and putting clothes on, getting up.
Which one? Josh has been on a ton of episodes.
I forget which one it was. I listened to a bunch of them when I went to tech school.
It was probably the first one.
I have like a four hour drive to and from tech school. So I just threw your podcast on. So I was able to listen. It made that 4 hour drive seem so easy. I was just like, wait a second. I'm already here. Damn.
That's why I love podcasts. That's what I do on my shifts. My shifts just go right by. I just put on a bunch of podcasts and like, oh shit, I got to clock out. All right, cool. Anyway.
So, you know, and that's the thing is like those small incremental wins are always awesome. Like, you know, especially playing with Fear of the Masses, like we'll have a show and be like, okay, you know, this week's going to suck, but I got the show at the end of the week. That's going to be fun. You know, and then we're gonna be doing this with one of our friends, and then me and my father-in-law and my two brother-in-laws we go to arena football every Saturday and Sunday during that. So that comes up. Oh, we got arena football this week. Let's go. You know, we always have that little incremental win that, like, no matter how shitty the week is, I have something just to look forward to. Just be like, I need to get through today, get through tomorrow, and I have this. And it's fine.
But you also just can't get yourself stuck in that mindset either, where you're just like, I have to get through today. I have to get through. Because then you're constantly, and that's something I had to learn too, during my recent spot with my therapist, because I would say the same thing to her that you're saying. I'm like, I just have to get through it. And she would tell me, like, why do you have to just get through? Like, why can't you just be in the moment? Yeah, it might not be a great moment, but what can you do to do, you know, change it? Or like now, like, I'll wake up in the morning now, like, I would be like, oh, fuck, I gotta go to work. You know what I mean? Like, I gotta get ready. I don't want to do this. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and I would get up and I would just dread it. You know what I mean? And there's still days where, you know, it does come up every now and then. But now what I'm doing more is I'll get up. The first thing I do is I take a deep breath. Okay. Before I have to use the bathroom, because usually that's why I'm getting up, is I have to take a piss. But
so, that old man bladder kicking in.
Gotta empty the main vein. But no, I'll take a piss. My cat is yelling at me, you know, this, that, and the other. But I'll take a deep breath, and I'm like, okay, I had a decent night of sleep. Maybe not. Who knows? All right. What am I thankful for? Well, I still have this nice apartment. That's mine. You know what I mean? You know, granted, I pay rent every month, but everything in here is mine. I own, I worked hard for. What else am I thankful for? My cat, who is currently screaming at me, feed me, you fucker, feed me. This little fur ball that's, you know, unconditionally loves me. You know what I mean? I could have the worst day possible and come home and she's just there for me at the end of the day. And I'm so thankful.
Oh yeah. And
what, you know, and those little things that if you can wake up every day, be in the moment and just be thankful for three things every day, different here and there, your mind is going to shift where it's going to be like, okay, I can get through today. And like another thing that it's really crazy. I know it is. Maybe it's a cliche. Post-it notes. Okay. Post-it notes, ladies and gentlemen. If you can write yourself a little note here and there around your place, you know, granted, don't invite people over because they're going to think you're a nut job. Like, I don't give a fuck. But like, I started leaving notes for myself around my place saying, like, you know, especially now since I'm dieting and stuff like that, like I have notes in my fridge saying, like, granted, I didn't finish all of my alcohol before I started this diet. So I have it hidden in a drawer in my fridge. With a big note on it saying no, you know what I mean? No, so like, that's the reminder. No, like, I also have a note on there saying like, keep going. Like you're doing great. I'm on my way out the door. There's a note saying you got this. Just make sure to smile. I have a note on my mirror saying you look amazing, because I can't look at myself in the mirror without saying, God, I look like shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Little things like that just make me smile. And then I start rethinking my brain or reworking my brain, where I'm like, you know what? I do look good. I do feel good. You know what? All right. Got this. I'm going to keep going. And it's been making my days that much more better.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And, you know, going back to the whole, you know,
I didn't mean to go on another tangent.
Dude, this is your podcast. I'm just a passenger at this point.
I know, but it's all about me getting to know my guests and relating to them. But like, I'm also here to help too, you know what I mean? Like, and absolutely. I want to help you too and give you some tips and tricks too, because like I totally feel you as like a kindred spirit, because I've been in your shoes plenty of times, you know. So,
you know, going back to your comment about your cat, you know, as you hear, I got three dogs that just absolutely go crazy sometimes. But like when I get home, like they're all waiting for me at the door, and it's just like they're all waiting, just ready just to pounce on me and just literally just lick me to death, which it's like, yeah, get off. But it's just like, it's well welcomed. Like, no matter how shitty of a day I have at work, whether it's boring or just I want to beat the shit out of somebody at work, I get home and they instantly make it better. You know, I got them. I have the chickens. I have, you know, I have Hannah and soon the baby. And it's just got to be one more thing to add to that list.
It's like going
to
be very hard to be in a bad mood after that baby comes, because
come on.
Like, I've heard it. Like, I don't have kids, but like, I have a niece and a nephew, and just like, I remember when they were that little. They're not that little anymore. My nephew's going to be in college coming up. Jesus Christ. You know, my niece is already, she's turning 11 this year. Oh my God. Anyway, I just remember when they were that small.
Yeah.
And that look they give you, like after they get up from a nap or something, and then they just, you know, they're kind of confused about their surrounding when they first open their eyes, and then they look at you and they realize, oh, it's you. And then they just really happy.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's hard. It's so hard to be in a bad mood after that because like, oh my God, I fucking love this kid. You know what I mean?
Point, you're just a hot stick of butter in a frying pan, you know, it's just completely everything melting. Is gone. You forgot why you're mad. And you're just like, hey, come here.
Nothing else matters right now. Like everything's fine.
The world could be on fire. It doesn't matter. Because I have everybody.
Well, the world is on fire right now.
I mean, yeah.
Let's not go there.
Moving on.
Yes. Just going to walk right past that.
Oh, burning fire. We're just going to. That's not happening.
Yep. Anywho. It's just living in the moment, man.
Yeah.
And just being grateful to still be in the moment is very, very key to keep going.
Absolutely.
You know? So,
you know, and that's where kind of redirecting this towards when I was younger, you know, that's where music came in. You know, I didn't really have this
perfect segue.
You know, I didn't really have any good coping mechanisms except for, you know, if I had a bad day at school, I'd just come and beat the ever loving piss out of my drum set and I'd feel better. Because one, I'm doing something I love. I've been playing drums since I was 8, and it was something that I could. You know, it was a stress reliever, but it was also something for me to just kind of get out of my head for a while, and just pretend that I'm, you know, at the Meadows playing in front of 10,000 people and everyone's cheering me on. Like I'm just in the moment, having fun, and then I'm just like, you know what? I'll just put the world away for a little bit and just escape, and. 9 times out of 10, that was enough. You know, it was enough for me to kind of get my head right and be like, okay, now I can deal with these problems in a rational headspace instead of being, you know, at the end of my wits, just ready just to be like, fuck this, I'm out, I'm done with this. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah, music was a lot of like that for me too. It definitely helped me cope a lot. It got me through a lot of the dark times and everything. So I definitely hear you on that, man. Definitely. Talking about music, like how, like you were a drummer before you got into guitar and then you went back to drums. When did you start playing drums and then when did you switch to guitar?
So I've been playing drums, like I said, since I was 8 years old. Self-taught, you know, just playing drum covers on YouTube. You know, biggest influences are, you know, Cobus Pottinger was a big fan of his when I was younger. Then growing up, I kind of broaden my horizons. You know, as a little kid, everyone hears, you know, Metallica, yeah, Lars Ulrich, and then I was just like, and I got older, I'm like, ooh, no, what was I thinking? He just wait, what am I playing? Oh, same thing. Okay, got it. So I kind of broadened my horizons, and you know, Mike Portnoy from Dream Theater was a huge, huge influence. Like when you see my kit live, you'll look at that and look at a couple of Portnoy's kits and be like, yeah, that makes sense. Mm. You know, the Rev from Avenged Sevenfold was a huge influence on me.
R.I.P.
I made, like, after he died, I made, for his 5-year anniversary, I made a vinyl for my bass drum head. I still have it. At a
that's cool.
Because I was working at a print shop for at that point, so I just cut a vinyl and stuck it on. It was It was kind of a pain. I'll have to show it to you one of these days, and you'll look at it and be like, why? Because I did if you look up the Rev Bat design, I had to like weed all these little tiny little details in the wings, and I got halfway through it. I'm just like, oh my God, why did I do this to myself? Why did I do this to myself? Now recently I've been getting into, you know, Matt Halpern from Periphery and Matt Garska and Sweet Feet from Michael Jackson's drummer, Sweetfoot. He's super underrated. Like you just hear that just pocket just sitting in there, and then you actually watch him play. He's very, very technical. It's just like, wow, that's what you're doing. It just sounds so effortless, and you're just sitting there and no expression at all. It's just wild how like his internal clock is perfect, spot on.
Just a machine. Like all the gears are just like in sync and just
And his phrasing is just is unreal for being a machine. Like, another one was Neil Peart again, R.I.P. But like he was very mechanical in how he drummed, and you can hear how mechanical it is. But that's what makes him so great, is because it's very methodical and thought out. Growing up, that was my thing. I had a drum set. I always wanted to play drums. And then I had gotten a guitar and kind of plucked around on it and just ended up just sitting in the corner like everybody else's guitar does when they're, 10, 11 years old. They get some hunk of shit $200 Epiphone and they play it for a little bit, break all the strings, and puts it in the corner and never touches it again. Around probably close to when I was a sophomore in high school is when my musical prowess, if you will, or lack thereof, would start to take over. And I actually picked up my guitar and actually started learning like where positions go and start learning how to actually play it. And then I started getting better and better, and still playing in bands, playing drums, just because that's what I was proficient at. I was not anywhere near ready to start playing guitar with people. I was very self-conscious about it. It took till 2015 when I started working at Guitar Center, where my guitar playing really turned a corner and started getting a lot better. Some of the guys I used to work with would always, after work, we'd just kind of noodle around and they'd teach me stuff and I'd get better and better and better. And then I got to the point where, one, I was kind of sick of lugging my drum set around, because if you've seen it recently, it is massive, because a 22-year-old with disposable income and you work at a music shop and you can get stuff for dirt cheap, you end up building a very, very large kit for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to take it somewhere and you're like, oh, why? Ask Josh. He hates it.
Yep. And you still bring that massive ass kit?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You haven't downsized at all?
Nope. Because I use everything. I'm just used to where everything is. I'll go to hit something and be like, oh, no, it's not there. That's a problem. that's got to be there. Why is it? Oh, yeah, there's no room. I'm playing in a 4x4 square and my kit's 10 feet wide. And as I get pelted in the face by my microphone. So that's a pain. So I was just like, you know what? I think I'm ready. I got plenty of gear. I want to try and strike out on playing guitar. So after one of my bands, I was playing in a band called Grounded Atmosphere, and we had some personnel conflicts. One of our guitar players and myself just could not get along. His significant other was really kind of influencing his attitude towards things, which never ends well. It just never ends well. So we ended up parting ways. And that's when the guys from Saneless, Way Harris's old band, hit me up and they're like, hey, we hear you're looking to play guitar for somebody. We need another guitar player. Would you want to be in? And I'm just like, bet, I'm in. Like, let's go. I played with you guys a couple of times. I really like your music. It's something I could really get behind. I ended up doing guitar and vocals for them for a little while. And then at that point in time, I just started getting into the car sales world. So my schedule and their schedule weren't really meeting very well. So we, one thing led to another and we had to part ways there. After that, I put up a thing in a musicians guild on Facebook looking for a band looking for a guitar player. And that's when John Hansen was just like, hey, I think we're looking for another guitar player. Would you be interested? And I'm like, yeah, send me some stuff to listen to and I'll get back to you. And they send me a couple things. They sent me their single from Rise, which was Make Me Your Leader. And that one I was like, oh, yeah, man, this is awesome. And then I started listening.
I was in that music video.
I know. Mr. Security Guard walking up. Oh, I'm all tough.
Yeah. Mr. Moore.
So then I started listening to a couple other things. And I'm just like, well, I don't know. I think my tone isn't going to really match up that well, just going off of what I'm hearing. I was a little concerned by that just because my tone at the time was rather heavier. I was playing a lot of like Dream Theater and A Day to Remember and,
right,
you know, really kind of harder stuff. So obviously that at on Rise, it's a little bit of a lighter tone back, scale back kind of sound. So I'm just bummed. Like, you know what? I'm gonna give it a go anyways. See how this goes. You know, what's the worst that happens? You know, we go, I'm not feeling it, or they're not feeling it, whatever. You know, it's something. And then when I get there, I hear Doug start playing, and I'm just like, oh, wait a second. That sounds a lot like what I got going on. I like this, and it just kind of, we just kind of clicked, and everything just fell into line so perfectly that
it's hard not to click with those guys because they're so easy to get along with.
Oh man, it really was, and like for the longest time, it was a great fit. You know, I was very happy. Mm-hmm. I've grown with them, they've grown with me, and it's really now we're one. It's not like, oh, my new band is, no, this is it. Like, this is my band, this is our band, this is their band. It's just, we're one now. Mm-hmm. It's like not even a thing anymore. It's kind of wild that I've been with them for almost, I'm going on 3 years, I think. So I joined in 2019. So yeah, I've already passed 3 years. Right?
Hell of a time to start with a band, and then the pandemic hits. Oh,
and that's the wild thing is, like, I played some decently large shows. Like, I think I played with this girl that was on American Idol. Her name's I can't think of her first name. Last name was Feliciano.
Still cool though.
Ashley Feliciano. Yeah. I played with her a couple times. So I played in front of a couple, you know, a couple hundred people, and then I get into Fear of the Masses and our first shows with all That Remains, and I'm just like, what? My buddy Mike goes, wait, aren't, because he's Mike Martin's a guitar player from All That Remains, and he texts me, he's like, isn't this your new band? I'm just like, yeah. He's like, have fun. Because he had known that I've never played in front of like an actually large, like, packed house.
Right.
And like,
that's stressful.
Oh man, it was so stressful because I saw him at the bar and he's just like, and I was like, oh, you asshole. So now I'm like kind of freaking out. You can see like all the pictures from it, you can see I'm kind of like nervous. I'm just like,
yeah.
But after that, we just kind of went on a tear and started playing with all these bands I've always wanted to play with. Like, we played with Puddle of Mud, Light the Torch, all like bunch of bands. I was like, this is awesome, this is so cool, this is way better than what I've been doing for the last, you know, 10 years. And like,
yep.
Then the pandemic hits and I'm just like, how do we bounce back from this one? And then, you know,
it's coming back though.
Oh, it definitely
it's coming
is.
Back though, you know, shows are finally happening again, so
yeah. And which
let's
is
see, shows at the Webster are coming back too.
Yes indeed. So the pandemic kind of brought up some interesting situations. You know, we had some, you know, I lost my job, John Hansen lost his job, John Evans had lost his job for a hot minute. Doug and his wife were going through their problems. So it kind of put a real weight on the band as a whole, because everybody was dealing with something, and some people were dealing with it better than others. And at this point, you know, we were kind of sitting back and we're like, you know, we gotta really talk about this. And at that point in time, we all came to a discussion or just decision that we needed to take a look from the outside looking in. And all of us kind of, like, not really all of us, but at the time, John Evans decided he was ready to step back. It wasn't working out in his favor. He wasn't really happy in the direction he was going, so he needed to he needed to remove himself from the situation. We kind of agreed with him that we were having a personnel issue with everybody. We weren't mad at him. We weren't trying to force him out. You know, he was ready to move on. And we could tell that he was ready to move on. So we just kind of let him go. And that's when we had a drummer slot open up. And I'm looking at it, and I'm just like, you know, it's going to be a way harder to find a drummer than it is to find a guitar player. So I called Josh a couple days afterwards. I'm just like, hey, why don't we look for another guitar player? He's just like, what, are you leaving too? I'm like, no. I think I want to hop back on the kit and kind of get back to where I belong, if you will. You know, being the guitar player for Fear the Mass has definitely brought up a lot of interesting avenues. Like I have a signature model guitar from Plant Guitar Company. Yeah, from Plant Guitar Company. You know, I nice. Can't really get it in the shot all that well, but chords. So like, this was kind of cool to have, but like, it's not where I belong, if that makes sense.
Right.
And again, being in the pandemic, I had plenty of time to do whatever I want, where I was drumming, and I was realizing that this is where I belong. And I think I could push us to a new direction and kind of involve some more aspects to it. And that's when Josh goes, you know, if you're going to do this, you got to be all in. It's not, oh, I'm going to try this. And no, I want to go back to playing guitar. He's like, if you're in, you're in. Like, that's it. Like, we're not doing this back and forth kind of thing. I'm just like, nah, man, I'm in 100%. I'm in, no problem. And he goes, okay, well, I'll see what the guys say. So we threw it into the band chat, and then like literally within 30 seconds, both Doug and John were like, yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Cause I had to fill in for John for a show that we played in Pennsylvania. Cause he was unavailable for that show. And they really loved how I played. And they're like, yeah, this will work. You know, we like this. So I'm just like, okay, so that's that. So now we're looking for a new guitar player. And my buddy,
That's when Nick joined
my buddy, Nick Roberts came in mind right away. I'm just like, let me see what he's doing. Cause he's one of those creative types that's constantly writing music, constantly doing something. Where, you know, I'm just like, let me see if he'd be in like the headspace to join up and start playing in the scene again. So I call him, and he's just like, you know, I'll give it a go. We'll see how it goes. Cause he used to play for the Green Invaders and, a bunch of other bands. He's been in the Connecticut scene for a while, then took a step back just because in the mid like 2010s to 2013s, the scene was kind of, the hardcore scene was kind of getting a little weird for him, and he just he's like, I need to take a step back from this. I don't really like where direction was going because people were kind of getting a little prima donna-y and fights were always happening. He's like, this isn't what I'm about. I'm about music, not fights. So he came in, we played a show with him, and then that's kind of history. You know, we've all been pushed to a new level that is kind of insane how quickly things have happened. So,
well, Nick is actually going to be the next guest after you. So
That's awesome.
We've been talking, so
you'll enjoy him.
That's awesome, though.
He's a neat dude and very, very personable. So
very cool. Well, that's a great freaking story, man. Like, you know, I music to me was always an outlet as well too, and you know, I'm slowly getting back into it. You know, you were saying like all these big shows you played and everything. That was me back in like 2015, 2014, somewhere around there, starting with In the Red and then meeting the guys from Fear the Masses and, you know, playing a bunch of big shows together. Like, I think the biggest one for me was Hailstorm, and, you know, we played.
Yeah, I'm hella jealous about that 5, one, 000. By the way.
Hailstorm one?
Yeah, there. I would love to play with them. I met Lizzie a couple of times.
They were great.
She's so cool. Like, I love hanging out with them, and like, I would love to play a show with them.
They're so laid back. Like, you know, the great people. RJ was super nice, and Lizzie was super nice. You know, I definitely remember that a lot. And you know, just how sweaty we all were at the end of the night. you know, after playing, because it was the middle of July on top of it, and like
they
we all met up
fire.
Outside. Yeah, we met up outside and we're talking briefly before like a crowd of people was all out there and like, you know, asking them for autographs and shit. But you know, I did get asked for a couple autographs too, which blew my mind because I'm like, I'm fucking nobody. You know what I mean?
Right. So,
but yeah, no, I definitely miss those days, and I'm slowly getting back into it myself too. I did a cover song with former guest Desiree Ragosa. For anyone who hasn't checked it out yet, check out the YouTube channel.
You definitely should. It box. Is phenomenal. It is absolutely
Thank
phenomenal.
You. Thank you. We're actually going to do another one together too. And former Fear of the Masses drummer Mike Castro and I are working on music, like original music. So
oh, that's awesome.
Putting out. I keep talking about this solo album, and it's there's that spark there. There, like, we're slowly adding fuel to the fire now. It's a slow process, but it's I'm gonna have a solo album before hopefully I'm 40. So
hey, if you need guitar or drums, let me know. I got you.
I'll let you know, man. I'm open to having some guests on there. Desiree offered some help. I think Mike has another guitarist that's offered to help. Jeannie offered to help a little bit on bass. So you know, I'm real happy to have all this support, because I definitely need it, because I can't write music. I just sing. I'm the guy up front. Like, I have a guitar here, an acoustic guitar. I could barely play it. So
hey, that's the polar opposite for me. I can write tunes all day long, trying to put words to it. I'm like, what rhymes with orange? Does microphone go well with back? No. Oh.
Microphone, saxophone. No, I don't know.
Going in a truck.
No, I've definitely had those
punk
ruts too. When it comes to like writing though, like I'm trying something different this time, because when I was back within the red, I would be given a song and then not a whole lot of time to really mess with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then even when I wrote something to it, I would come to practice and my guitarist had lyrics. I'm like, I'm the singer. I got to write this. You know what I mean? So like, yeah, we butted heads a little bit here and there about it. But like for this time around, like I have a journal. I've just been like, and this has been helping with my mental health too a lot. It was, I would just write down how I'm feeling. It mm-hmm. wasn't anything lyrically or anything. Just a journal about like stuff that would pop in my head about stuff in the past that I might regret, or people that aren't in my lives anymore, whether I pushed them away or I had to cut ties with them or they've passed away here and there, you know, stuff like that. And what I'm going to do now is once I actually have some music, because like that's another thing too, that like Mike and like people have been asking me, they're like, do you have lyrics? I'm like, no, like lyrics are the absolute last thing to a song. Like,
agreed.
You need
yep.
the bone structure first. You need the music first. And I was like, so for this, I'm going to wait until I have something together, and now that I have the programs to actually sit there, listen to it, maybe edit it around a little bit, and then put it on a loop, I can actually sit there and just make up bullshit words that mean nothing, like yeah, blah, 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 you know, whatever, and just so I can get a rhythm
right.
down.
You go and
on a track,
scat it through, and just kind of
right,
the...
and then exactly piece it together like a puzzle. I have this the not the words, but you know, the sounds there, where I can actually sit back, listen to it. Okay, what's going to sound good there as I'm writing lyrics? And then I just sync it up that way. So
right.
a lot of professional singers do it that way. So
that,
I want to try it that way and see what happens.
That's how yeah. Josh does it. You know, we all mm-hmm. will final basically hash out the entire song and get it perfect before Josh will even speak a note. Like, he'll wait until we have
right.
it down pat, and then he'll be like, okay, this is what I got. And we're just like, he's like, no, I've been working
Josh
on this.
Is just so talented. Josh is super talented. So.
Meanwhile, like what he's doing behind the scenes, we're just see him sitting on his phone. And he's just kind of like,
yep.
we're like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm making bets. Meanwhile, he's like writing lyrics down. Oh, I'm just betting on the Super Bowl. Hold on a second.
yeah.
But in actuality, he's like got this whole song fleshed out, and he's got four other ideas
yep.
just in case we.
And they're all fire.
Something.
They're all fire.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh
absolutely.
Yeah, like, they're all fire.
That's one
if
thing.
If you guys haven't checked out Fear the Masses, you guys really need to. All my listeners and viewers, you really need to check them out. Such an underrated band that should have been signed a long ass time ago. Like, really, like, and I'm not the only one in the music scene that thinks that. Like, you guys are so talented.
Well, we appreciate that.
I can't wait for this new album, which Josh was on. Josh was the season premiere of this season. So, and he explained that you guys are adding more to the album now, which is amazing, and I can't wait for that. So
yeah, we got to you guys on four that. Or five, I think actually five or six new songs that we've written in the last 3 months that are, dude, on this entire album, I don't even know what my favorite is anymore. Like, I had a couple favorites. I'm just like, these are going to be it. Now I'm hearing these new ones. I'm just like, oh no, these are all awesome. What do we do?
I can't wait because first? Because, man, it's Rise has been out for fucking ever, and yeah. I'm dying for New Fear of the Masses, and Tipping Point was just that, I don't want to get too graphic, but that, I was going to get graphic, but I'm not going to, but, you know, I definitely exploded with joy, let's just put it that way, when, you know, that song came out, and it came out at such an appropriate time, too, and I loved that track so much.
Yeah,
so that track, I'm looking forward to all the new tracks, man.
That track definitely hits hard, has a real big meaning behind it, which is why right. we released it when we did, and it's definitely taken off. A lot of people really love that song, and it's great to see that it's getting such a positive reception from people that they love hearing it. You know, it's one of those songs that people are like, and we say Tipping Point, like, yeah. I'm just like, yes. You know,
got him,
got him. So
why don't we wind it down a little bit? Let's talk about some plugs, and then we're also doing something new this season where I ask my guests, you know, what for something. It's not major or anything, but like I'll save it as a little surprise at the ending. Keep you on your toes.
Oh, boy. All right.
So let's do some plugs here.
Toes.
All right, so why don't you plug your stuff, and then I'll ask you for this thing, and then I'll do some plugs myself, and then we'll go from there. Sound good?
Sure, sounds awesome. All right, so once again, my name is Derek from Fear of the Masses. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram. We have our YouTube sort of back up and running. We'll have our website coming up soon. We have our new album, Regime Change, that hopefully is coming out in June or July. Like we said, we are very, very excited to release that. Like I was saying, I have a sponsorship with Plant Guitar Company, Callium Strings. On the drum side, I use Dario Sticks, Sabian Cymbals, Tama Drums, Evans Drum Heads. I think that's pretty much it as far as plugs go.
Is there anywhere where people can follow you directly? Or?
Oh yeah, you got me on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. I have my YouTube channel. It's kind of been dormant a little bit, but I'm hoping to get that back up and running. You can search my name, Derek Jeffrey, on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and yeah.
Well, I'll make sure to link everything down below in the show notes and everything, or on the video that you're currently watching, so people can check out Fear the Masses and Derek over here. So before I do my plugs, this is how I want to end my show this season, is something that my grandfather would say every year for his birthday or Christmas. We would ask him, what could we get you, or what do you need? And the only thing he would respond is with, all I need is a kind word. And I think the world needs a lot more of that right now, where we all need more kindness and we all need more positivity. So if you can leave my listeners and my viewers with a kind word or a phrase or something that means something to you that you'd like to pass along, what would it be?
Patience.
Why patience?
So, this is kind of coming from a work perspective. Being an automotive technician, everything is very, very fast paced. The things that need to happen very, very quickly. And people don't understand that things take time. So if you want the best out of something, you need to give it the time it needs to take for it to happen. You know, good things don't happen quick. Good things sometimes take a long time. You need to be in that moment and follow that road. No matter how hard it is, you need to follow it and you need to go through it because it's going to lead you to something wonderful at the end.
I could not agree more, man. Thank you for that. That is perfect. Perfect. I love it. That's something that my father said I was born without, was patience. And I've slowly learned that after years and years, I finally have some patience. All right. So I'm going to do my own plugs and we'll talk off air. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in and watching. If you're currently watching on YouTube, hi, how are you? Please make sure to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, and hit that bell icon to get notified every time we drop a new video. If you're listening on audio, we're available on all the major podcast networks. Wherever you listen to your podcast from, we're probably on it. Please make sure to hit that follow button. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a 5-star rating and a review. I would love to read it on the show. You could reach the show by emailing us at roadsweeftravelpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/roadsweeftravelpodcast. Twitter and Instagram at RWT pod. Jesus Christ. I can't talk today. If you want to support us on Patreon, we're on Patreon, patreon.com/roadsweeftravel. I'm currently working on perks and stuff. I got to start uploading ad-free episodes up there for you guys to listen to. If you guys want to advertise with us, please hit me up on the email too. I would love to chat to new advertisers. If you guys have something you want to promote, your music, your small business, your products, whatever, let's talk, let's work together. I'd love to, you know, do some ads for anyone out there willing to help out the show here. So you could buy merch from the show by heading over to TeePublic. We got some great shirts over there that I designed myself. I can't talk. that I designed personally myself. You know, we got the logo, you know, the nice little trail sign logo that I designed. We got some other artsy stuff that I've done. There's also merch for my Twitch channel up there that you can buy personally. There's a lot of funny ass stuff that I drew up there for my Twitch channel. That's really good. So support me by heading over there. And speaking of my Twitch, you can follow me at twitch.tv/JRBuckleGaming. I know Derek is a fellow gamer because he's played some Among Us with us in the past.
Absolutely.
We're trying to get Nick involved, too. Nick is trying to play some Among Us, too, so that'll be interesting. So much fun. Catch some of the Fear of the Masses guys playing games with us on the weekends. that's always fun. twitch.tv/JRBuckleGaming. I stream every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights. And if you are in need of any sort of graphic design work, video editing, I'm open for commission work. Check out my portfolio at www.alanmpelletierjr.com. All the links are down below. Please support the show, support me, and support my guests. Derek, this was awesome. Thank you for, you know, taking the time out of your day and being on my show. Thank you for listening and being such a huge supporter of my show too. It was great talking to you. I'd love to have you back.
Oh man, this was so much fun. I was really excited for it, and I would love to be back whenever you have me. I'll be more than ready to do it.
All right, sounds good. My best to you and the family, your wife and your newborn baby coming soon, and your dog in the background who's been talking this entire time.
I know. You know, I've been meaning to get her in here because I think she wants to say hi. Let me just grab her so she can say hi to the fans.
Okay. All right. All right. Oh, man.
Come on.
For my listeners out there, I do apologize. There she is.
Hello. Hello, puppers.
My audio listeners, I do apologize. You can't see this beautiful dog. So,
this is
on
Bella.
Camera right now.
She's one of the ones that been barking. She's the chunky thickster, one of them.
Oh, hello, puppers.
Come here, buddy.
All right.
And that's the ham.
Aww.
He's the good
Look
boy.
At you. You're melting my heart right now and my viewers on YouTube right now with your beautiful, beautiful dogs. Audio listeners, this is why you should be subscribed to the YouTube channel to check out all the great, great video.
Say that one more time.
Well, thank you. I was saying, audio listeners, this is why you should be subscribed to the YouTube channel and check out all the video, especially of these cute, cute dogs.
Absolutely.
So. Derek, thanks again, man. I really appreciate this. We'll get you back on down the road. All right.
Absolutely, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.